final presentation of this session will be by Dana Eichmeier. She is a foodborne epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health and has been with the state since 2011, coordinating foodborne outbreak investigations and organizing MDH surveillance activities for Shigella and Campylobacter. She will be talking about the Salmonella Newport outbreak associated with tomatoes consumed at Burrito Chain A, lessons learned for investigating Chain A outbreaks.
Okay, good morning. On September 2, 2015, the Minnesota Department of Health Public Health Laboratory notified epidemiologists of 21 clinical isolates of that were either Salmonella Newport or Salmonella Group C2, which includes Newport. All had specimen collection dates since August 24th. To put that number into context, the median annual number of Newport cases reported in Minnesota is only 45. At the time of cluster detection, three of the first five cases reported Chipotle Mexican Grill during their initial interview. By the following day, 12 of 13 interviewed cases had reported eating at one of six Minnesota Chipotle locations. MDH Environmental Health and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture were notified, and an investigation was initiated. Online order information and invoices were obtained directly from Chipotle Corporate. MDH staff interviewed cases and controls identified through routine surveillance, hotline complaints, and online orders. Online order data for selected locations were compiled to estimate expected menu item consumption frequencies amongst Minnesota Chipotle patrons. Sanitarians visited affected facilities to interview food workers and assess food handling. Ill food workers were excluded until two stool samples were negative for Salmonella. And finally, MDA collected samples of suspected products for testing and conducted a traceback investigation in conjunction with FDA. Confirmed cases were defined as Minnesota or Wisconsin residents who dined at a Chipotle location and had a clinical isolate of Salmonella Newport that was indistinguishable by PFGE from one of two closely related patterns. Probable cases were defined as individuals who developed diarrhea that was either three or more days of duration or accompanied by fever after dining at a Chipotle location where a confirmed case had also eaten. During August to October, 92 Newport cases with clinical isolates indistinguishable from the outbreak PFG patterns were detected through routine surveillance in Minnesota. 81, or 88%, reported that they ate or likely ate at a Chipotle location in the week before illness onset. 10 denied eating at Chipotle, and one case who denied Chipotle was likely a secondary case. Four confirmed cases were reported by the Wisconsin Department of Health. In addition to the cases received through surveillance, 260 Chipotle patrons were interviewed, and 34 probable cases were identified. In total, 119 cases were identified. 55% were female, and the median age of cases was 32 years. Onset dates ranged from August 2nd to September 27th. The median incubation period was 3 days, and the median duration of illness was 8 days. 14% of cases were hospitalized, and no deaths occurred. 28 Chipotle locations were affected, including 27 in Minnesota and one in Wisconsin. This epidemic curve of meal dates only contains confirmed and probable cases with single known meal dates. Meal dates for cases ranged from August 1st through September 25th. However, the majority of cases reported meal dates during August 16th through 25th. The first six locations reported by multiple cases early in the investigation were selected for a case control study. Only confirmed cases with single meal dates from August 16th through 25th were enrolled. Controls were enrolled for meal companions and online orders from the same dates and locations as the cases. Data were analyzed by menu item and specific ingredient. At the menu level, consumption of mild tomato salsa, carnitas, and brown rice were significantly associated with illness. The mild tomato salsa explained 92% of the cases. In a multivariate model including these three menu items, both the mild tomato salsa and carnitas remained associated with illness. The salsa had an adjusted odds ratio of 17.6 and the carnitas 12.1. Since the carnitas were reported by only 22% of cases and are received pre-cooked at each restaurant, only the ingredients in the mild tomato salsa were included in the ingredient-specific analysis. The mild tomato salsa includes tomatoes, jalapenos, red onion, cilantro, citrus, and salt. It is the only menu item that contains raw tomato. Aside from the tomato, all other produce items in the tomato salsa are included raw in multiple other menu items. At the ingredient level, only tomatoes were significantly associated with illness, with an odds ratio of 12.4. The case control analysis was expanded to include all cases and all controls from all locations with meal dates during August 16th through 25th. Similar to the restricted analysis, only the salsa was significantly associated with illness in a multivariate model with an adjusted odds ratio of 15.1. Additionally, tomato, jalapeno, and red onion were significant in the ingredient-specific analysis. However, in the multivariate model, only tomatoes remained associated with illness with an adjusted odds ratio of 50.9. Online orders for August 15th through 25th were available for the six previously selected case control locations. These were used to estimate the expected population consumption for each menu item at Chipotle locations in Minnesota. Confirmed cases for these dates and locations were compared to the expected population consumption values using the binomial distribution model. Similar to the case control study results, only mild tomato salsa and carnitas were significantly associated with illness. At the ingredient level, only consumption of tomatoes remained associated with illness. Online order data from the Minnesota Chipotle locations involved in additional outbreaks were combined and added to the current data set. The red bars represent the online orders from the Salmonella Newport outbreak, the blue bars an STEC 0111 outbreak in 2014, and the green bars an STEC 026 outbreak in 2015. The frequency of ordering for each item was consistent across time periods and Chipotle locations among the three data sets. Mild tomato salsa is consistently consumed by about 50 to 55% of Minnesotans at Chipotle. This estimate was corroborated by Chipotle sales records. The 27 implicated Minnesota restaurants were in 13 environmental health jurisdictions. Sanitarians interviewed food workers at the 22 restaurants that had been reported by cases by September 10th. A total of 446 food workers were interviewed. 22, or 5%, reported recent diarrhea and were excluded from food service. Due to the rapidly expanding nature of the outbreak, on September 10th, a decision was made that all food workers at all Chipotle locations in the Minnesota distribution chain would be screened verbally for illness by Chipotle managers prior to their shifts. Any ill food workers were reported to EH and were tested for salmonella at the state lab. No salmonella positive food workers were identified. On September 4th, MDA inspectors accompanied EH inspectors to two Chipotle locations. Tomatoes, jalapenos, and cilantro were collected for sampling. All samples were negative for salmonella at the MDA laboratory. All 60 stores in the Minnesota distribution chain were supplied by Distributor A. At the time of the outbreak, this distributor was receiving tomatoes from Supplier A, but did fill with other suppliers when needed. Chipotle corporate staff analyzed their supply chain data and indicated that the tomatoes were likely sourced from a Virginia farm. All supply and invoice data were shared with FDA for further investigation. On September 10th, MDH issued a press release notifying the public of the outbreak. Additionally, on that date, Chipotle switched the supplier of tomatoes to the entire Minnesota distribution chain. All employees were screened for illness prior to starting their shift. Tomatoes were washed in Victory Wash, and enhanced cleaning and sanitizing was recommended at outbreak restaurants. With the exception of one case who reported a meal date of September 25th, no meal dates were reported after September 10th. This was the largest outbreak of salmonellosis in Minnesota since the Schwann's ice cream outbreak in 1994. Tomatoes were implicated as the outbreak vehicle by an ingredient-specific case control study supported by internal product distribution information provided by Chipotle Corporate. Multiple Salmonella Newport outbreaks have previously been associated with tomatoes, including tomatoes from the Sussex growing region. Additionally, the outbreak PFG subjects of Salmonella Newport have previously been found in environmental samples in the Sussex growing region. A well-defined, ingredient-specific case control study was critical in identifying the outbreak vehicle. This outbreak featured a large volume of cases, locations, and extended range of meal dates. Restricting the analytic study based on laboratory confirmation, location, and time was key. However, the traditional analytic studies such as these can be labor-intensive and are not always feasible. Many restaurants do not have printed names on receipts, and fewer individuals have phone numbers available in public directories. In the absence of traditional controls, online order of sales data can sometimes be used to determine the expected frequencies of food items consumed at restaurants. In this instance, online orders were plentiful, easily obtained, and contained name, phone number, email, and exactly what each patron had ordered. This approach requires a low investment of staff time and produced results that corroborated the traditional method. Thank you.
But anyone else who talked about restaurant outbreaks. I think in this outbreak there was a large drop in patronage of Chipotle once people realized, am I right about that? Has anyone considered looking at how that affects the likelihood of catching later cases if, because your number of patrons is gonna drop, and how many more patrons would you need to look at to cases? The evidence was very good, but circumstantial. You could never really clearly, you're still not completely sure where it came from. How to identify more rapidly the real source and cut it off in the future if the number of patrons drops a lot at that restaurant.
Are you specifically in this outbreak?
Specifically in this outbreak, yeah. Or in yeah.
Well, okay, so by the time the outbreak had gone public, most of the cases had already been exposed. So I wouldn't say that the number of cases or patrons really dropped off for this particular outbreak. If anything, the publicity of this really increased the number of cases that we were getting. We were just getting run over in our hotline. People kept calling. Definitely by September 10th, by that time we did the press release, but we felt really confident that we needed to go public, we really had all of the information that we needed to do that traceback investigation. So really that once that's beyond the Minnesota borders, that really becomes an agriculture and an FDA investigation. So I don't know if additional cases really would have helped potentially find the outbreak vehicle, or we know the outbreak vehicle, but wouldn't have helped us find exactly where that field was and how that contamination happened.
I do have one question.
Yeah.
How hard was it to get the sales data from Chipotle?
Super easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It really depends, and Chipotle, I think, is more of an exception than a rule, but a lot of facilities can be more willing to give you that than they are to give you patron credit card receipts. So our EIS officer, Pam Talley, had reported yesterday about a KFC outbreak where credit card receipts really just weren't available, like they didn't have any information on them, but she was able to obtain that information on individual cases, or individual sales receipts. So most restaurants, if they're looking at their data, have a pretty good idea of what they're selling to each of their patrons, and they might be more willing to give that up than other stuff.
I was wondering in the trace back and trace forward if it was seen that these tomatoes went somewhere else other than Chipotle in Minnesota and Wisconsin, if there were any, one would expect tomatoes to be in grocery stores and other restaurants and all over. Just wonder how.
Right. So, yep. So it was a big supplier. All the information I have now is kind of all that we can really share on that. There probably were more tomatoes, but the tomatoes that came into Minnesota from the supplier were destined for Chipotle. Like, they were stored together. They had a special contract for them.
Okay.
So it's unknown. We don't know in Minnesota. We can't comment on where else that went.
Okay, so it's ongoing, is that the investigation to...
Yeah.
Okay.
And I could add one thing. So we do, I don't know if anybody, is Matt Weissman, I don't see him in the audience. There is a, oh, Jessica, I don't know if you want to add anything, but we do an enhanced salmonella Newport surveillance in sort of this region every year, or have...
Yeah, my name is Jessica, I'm from Virginia, and actually the tomatoes have been distributed nationwide to lots of different restaurants, lots of different grocery stores, including places like Jimmy John's and everything, and actually only 1% of the tomatoes produced in that area were distributed to Minnesota in this particular situation. Less than 1%, I think.
But we did, at the time, we did look hard for other Newports and didn't find any around the country, so, or at least in the region where we were looking for them, so. Well, let's have another round of applause for all of our... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So based on that information, do you think that the point of contamination was, you know, at some point in distribution, like that it only happened to this one area?
It's really unknown. So it could have happened at the field. It could have happened at the shipper. It could have happened at the packing house.
Okay.
It's unlikely to have happened at each individual restaurant
because
we had so many restaurants. That's, I think, the only thing we really can say for sure. Thank you.
Okay, any last questions? All right, let's have a round of applause for all of you.